Hey guys, this is Eric Young, and you're listening to Booking the Territory.
Hey, this is Ring of Honor Superstar Donovan Dijak, and you're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
This is a one-man gang. You're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
This is Booking the Territory, a pro wrestling podcast hosted by Mike Mills, Heart Body Harper from Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, and the mentally irregular Doc Turner. This podcast is a mix of your topics and thoughts in the world of pro wrestling, along with interviews and discussions with current independent stars and your favorite stars from the past. And now, here's your host, Mike Mills.
All right, y'all, this is a rather special edition of Booking the Territory's Pro Wrestling Podcast. I just finished sitting down talking to Brent McKenzie, who had a video that went viral about a week ago today. It'll be a week ago tomorrow. It'll be a week ago as of July the 2nd, let me say, regarding a situation on a card in, I believe it was Houston, Texas, between Brent McKenzie and Sean Hernandez from TNA fame, and I believe he was Lucha Underground too. So Brent and I have been talking about getting him on Booking the Territory's Pro Wrestling Podcast, you know, for a couple weeks now, actually more than a couple weeks. He and I met at WrestleMania weekend in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So that was a couple months ago now. But Brent and I have been talking, and we met through a mutual friend and was going to bring him on the show. And man, out of the blue, the situation happened, and it just so happened that Brent and I were in the process of getting him on the show. So, yeah, I brought Brent on, and he's going to talk about what happened, which seems to be making the rounds on the internet. There was a video that went viral, and let me just say this for anyone out there listening to it. You know, I know Brent a little bit just from mutual friends that we both have. Brent's a good dude. And I can take him for his word. Everything that occurred, you can see on the video what occurred between him and Hernandez and the fight that ensued at that point in time on the card in Houston, Texas. So it is what it is. And like I said in the discussion with Brent, you know, I don't know Sean Hernandez. I don't know, you know, I take Brent from his word for what he said. But let me just say this, because I don't like the Twitter hate mail that sometimes comes through for certain things like this whenever you have controversial things. But if you send me anything on Twitter and say, oh, well, we want to hear Hernandez's side, and I will never turn down someone who wants to come on and tell their side of the story. But, and I told Brent that in the interview, and Brent understood. So anyway, Hernandez, if you happen to want to come on, great. Love to have you. Hear your side. Otherwise, I'm just going to turn it over to myself, Brent. We're going to talk about what happened. And unfortunately, this was all we talked about during this podcast. I meant to get into his career more, but we got into the whole Hernandez situation and what occurred between Brent McKenzie and Sean Hernandez, former TNA superstar. So here it is on Booking the Territories Pro Wrestling Podcast. Brent, what's up, man?
Hey, what's happening, buddy?
Oh, nothing much. So just to let you know, I don't have – normally when I do these, I'll have, like, some questions and shit. Mm-hmm. But I usually try to make it, you know, more free-flowing for the guys. I don't really want it to be like an interview. I never do. But I was going to say, I don't have nothing written down for you. So – because – and the reason I did that is because the night we met, you were like, fuck it. I got a lot of shit I can get off my mind. So, yeah, I'll come on your show, whatever you want.
It was mostly about Sean, actually. So,
was it really?
Yeah.
No shit. I didn't know what. See, I had no clue what you were talking about. I just was like, you know, I mean, I've been knowing Byron forever.
Right.
I say forever. I mean, it's probably fuck, man. I met him at least 10 years ago. Let me say that.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. I was like, so when you said that, I was like, well, damn, who the hell does he want to bury like that? well, cause man, you know, man, like I hadn't worked the indies in a long time, but man, the indies, you know, people talk about the big companies and all the mess and shit, but man, there's drama on the indies. God, there's fucking drama.
Unbelievable. But the thing is, it's drama that never gets handled.
You know, it doesn't, because guys, let me say this. I was never one to, like, run my mouth or anything, like, and say stuff and just be messy. But it kills me, because a lot of guys, they'll run their mouths and they'll yap, 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 yap. And then the minute they're in the same fucking locker room with the guy, they're best friends. Well, not best friends. We're like, oh, hey, brother, how are you doing? It's like, oh, here we fucking go.
Yeah.
Like, nobody, you know, nobody ever wants to speak up. It's always, oh, we're cool, you know. Oh, bro, it wasn't no big deal. But then, you know, two shows ago when that guy wasn't on the same car with you, y'all were fucking, yeah. You know, you were, oh, fuck him. He's a fucking idiot. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, hey, this motherfucker go just running their mouth. But, yeah, so I didn't know what you were talking about. You know, for people that don't know what we're talking about, listen to this because this is going to air. I'm thinking about airing this thing in a few days, actually. I got, you know, my show usually drops on Tuesday, but I might throw it out there tomorrow at the because it seems to be a hot item. I don't know if you noticed.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. Well, so like Brent and I met a mutual friend at WrestleMania weekend, and Brent said he would come on the show, and you know I had a bunch of stuff already recorded with people at that point. So as fate had it, you know, I knew I had to get back to you this month as we were hitting July, and all of a sudden Brent goes viral with Shauna Hernandez. So Brent. Here's the thing. It went viral. It's been all over Facebook. It's been on Twitter. Not a million retweets. I'm exaggerating. But a good bit of retweets. Just a few. So, and hey, you sound a little low. So if you could put
the.
I don't know if it's too far away from you, but
is that better?
I'm just gonna tell you. Yeah. That's much better. So, all right, Brent. So give us. Obviously, we're talking about the Hernandez situation that just occurred. You know, about a week ago now, June 26th or something like that.
20th.
Okay.
So tomorrow will be a week. It's six days out.
Okay, so the 25th of June. I'll set the stage from what I know. Brent is on a card with Hernandez and. Some stuff pops off. So before we do that, though, talk about what popped off. Because, I mean, they talked about you. They didn't say your name, but they talked about this on MLW Radio today.
I heard it today. They did mention my name. They said it one time. I'm like,
oh, they did say your name.
They did.
Okay, cool. Because I hate when they do that. I'm like, man, get it. You know, it wasn't like you were trying to become a celebrity.
No,
it just popped off.
That's not been my intention with this whole thing at all. You know, I mean, Byron has taken it and ran with it. But... like he's like I don't think he's ever ran before.
But give us the backstory on like this whole situation.
Well, I mean it goes all the way back to 2008 when I first broke into the business.
Damn, that far?
Yeah, man, 8 years, brother.
Shit. Okay.
So Sean was one of the first people that I came into contact with is here in Texas, after my first couple, 3 or 4 months in, you know.
Yeah.
We were put in contact with him, and we were going to start, doing shows in San Antonio. They put us in touch with the guys down there, and we were, we're going to start kind of learning from those guys. And Sean saddled me with this stupid hillbilly gimmick, man, because that's all he could see me as. Like, because I was a bigger, I'm a bigger guy, you know.
Yeah.
But I guess he just didn't really see any athletic ability in me, and which is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But Sean is also one of those guys where if he can humiliate somebody, you know, he's gonna do it. If he can make someone look bad, he's gonna take every opportunity to make that happen.
Right.
So.
Which that just – I'm going to stop you real quick because when I was listening to MLW today, I ain't never met Sean. I heard Conan say he was, you know, a bit of a quote-unquote bully, I guess. I don't want to quote him, but it sounded like him and Core Bauer were kind of leaning towards that was their feelings. Or Conan at least said he kind of, you know, treated guys badly, so to say.
Conan said he was a bit bullyish and that he's bitter. And
the bitter part. Yeah, I'm glad you said that.
Wholeheartedly agree with that. Conan hit the nail right on the head with that. So he gave me this stupid gimmick. I didn't want to do it. You know, I was like, man, I go, this is just kind of dumb. It was the Bubba Dumplings gimmick. You know, I came up with the name, but Sean wanted me to be this stupid hillbilly. He wanted me to wrestle barefoot, and
and wanted me to do these body slam challenges and hot wing eating contests and all this sideshow bullshit.
Right.
And not really actually wrestle.
Okay.
Because he'd get a kick out of it. You know, I didn't want to do it. But it wasn't just how he treated me. It was how he treated the people around me, like the group that came from the Central Texas area in Temple.
Right.
He treated a lot of us really bad, man. Like, there was a kid named Zach. I remember him just chopping the piss out of this kid and like it ended up like knocking him out or knocking the breath out of him or something. And Sean just thought it was the funniest thing he'd ever seen, you know?
Yeah.
But every time he got a chance to talk bad about somebody, he would, or he'd point something out about somebody and just kind of, you know, just poke fun at people. Just to make himself feel better. So I eventually decided that I wasn't going to return to San Antonio and wrestle for his company that you know, he was a part of. And he didn't like that. And one night in Corpus Christi for Gulf Coast Wrestling Association, I believe is what it was, he got in my face and he told me that he said that I was a fat piece of shit that couldn't work. And that if it was 5 years earlier, he would have wiped the floor with me.
Now, about what year is this? Because I know you said 08 when you met him, so this is a few years later.
This would have been early 09.
Okay. So this isn't even that much later along.
No,
it's only
Like I said, when I said I could see through his bullshit and see what kind of person he was, it didn't take long.
Yeah, I got you.
So we were in Corpus, and he said all this shit to me, and like I was like, man, that's it, dude. I'm done. Like I'm not hanging out with this dude anymore. I'm not gonna be around this guy because I don't need him to do whatever I need to do. And so I broke away from those guys, and you know, of course, he didn't like that. And but I will maintain that I never skipped an opportunity to tell someone how I felt about him, and to just tell people exactly what kind of person he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there were instances at after parties where he would make some of the guys that thought that he could get them an opportunity, make them strip down naked. At one occasion, he made this one guy strip naked, rub butter all over himself, and go outside and run up the street, up this big hill outside. Like, and just
I shouldn't laugh. That's wrong.
And, you know, at the time, like, that's funny, but like, looking back, it's like,
yeah,
absolutely ridiculous, you know.
Well, the part that just set me off that I chuckled is when you said he made him put butter on himself.
A tub of butter and made him rub it all up and down himself.
Jesus Christ.
Just so he could get a laugh out of it. But the reason he did it, like, was he made this kid do it because this guy is afraid he's going to lose his spot or whatever. And this same guy, they were doing some sort of like a loser leaves town thing before I ended up leaving this company down there. Like, this kid, they're hiding him in the back so nobody sees him. So he parks his car in the back of the building so no one would know it was there. So while he's in the ring, Sean goes, "Oh man, you know what we should do? We should all piss and shit in his car." And sure enough, Sean pisses in this dude's car. Like, I'm like, you fucking kidding me? I'm like, this is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. So, but like, he'd get off on that kind of stuff. So,
and I mean, to people that are listening to this, I know ribbing is a part of wrestling.
Right,
I mean,
right, but
but that's going far, dude.
Like, pissing and shit in people's gear bags, pissing and shit in people's vehicles. You don't do that, man. There's a I'm all about ribbing somebody and having a good time with them, you know.
Yeah, I agree, but, Brent. You have fun, man. I mean, but come on, man.
You don't do certain things, man. And you know, requesting sexual favors from women if they wanted to be on the show, like that was another thing that he would do.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Wow. Holy shit.
Yeah. Like, I'm. So, like, it's. This has been a long time coming, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking 08, and now the stuff you're saying is in 09. So yeah, obviously, this is building. It's like an angle almost, but I mean, it's just building.
Like, here's the deal: like from March of 2009 on, I hadn't seen him.
So you hadn't seen him since March of 2009 up until last weekend.
Until last weekend, I hadn't seen him.
But you still obviously, you know.
I never missed a chance to talk to tell people what I thought about it.
Right.
So obviously, it's wrestling. It's indie wrestling. People are going to talk. It's going to get back to him. And
which goes to the point we were talking about at the very beginning, and it happens.
Yeah. So
any locker room you're in, it's going
to
happen.
But like, it's not that I'm like trying to tear somebody down. I want people to know exactly what kind of person he is. And like he brings that on himself.
Yeah.
So Saturday was the first time I'd seen him in almost 8 years, 7.5 years, I guess, to be more accurate.
So let's set the stage real quick. Yeah. Who gets to the building first?
Sean is there first, I believe.
Okay.
Because he lives in Houston.
Okay, so you pull up, you know, you go in, and then I'll go ahead. I'll let you tell it. I'm just trying to make sure I'm following the timeline.
Yeah, I get to the building. It's probably 6:15, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Show starts at 7:30 or 8 or whatever. I get there. I go in. I say hello to everybody that I need to say hello to. Put my gear down. I don't see Sean at this point. Put my gear down. I'm sitting there getting my merchandise out, and I think Sean comes back into the locker room. I don't know where he was at. Mm-hmm. So I go out, put my merchandise out on the table, out by the ring and everything, or where the area the ring is in. Mm-hmm. Come back into the locker room. Sean is still in there. I go back to sit back down where my gear's at. I'm a good 15, 20 feet away from where Sean's at, I guess, or maybe even more, 30 feet, I guess. Like, I wasn't looking in his direction. I wasn't there to mess with Sean. I wasn't there to talk to Sean. I wasn't there to confront him about anything because he knows how I feel. I was there.
Right.
I was there to work for Bob Murphy. That's the only thing I was there to do. Mm-hmm. Work for him, get paid, go home. That's it. Getting my gear out of my bag, I see somebody approaching me, and it's Sean. He's saying something. I can't quite make it out, but like I hear him say "Fat Boy" something, and I'm thinking, oh, that's funny. So I put my hand out, like I'm just gonna shake his hand and be done with it because I don't want to deal with it. So he says, "Fuck your handshake, Fat Boy," and kicks me in the face.
Which you can clearly see on the video everybody listening to this.
No mistake about what happened.
You are sitting down. It's not like you can clearly see you are in a seated position.
Yes.
Messing with your, I remember you messing with your gear bag and, you know, getting something out of it, which is obviously not uncommon. You're at a show, you know, getting ready to get stuff together. And you can, obviously there's no audio on the video.
No,
it's just black and white.
Black and white security video. Camera happened to have a camera in the BFW. Because this building doubles as a banquet hall. The room that we're in as our locker room during the wrestling shows, it's a banquet hall every other event for the BFW.
Gotcha.
It's natural for them to have security cameras in there.
Yeah, makes sense.
So I put my hand out, like I said, to shake his hand, and I'm just going to, like, you can see he says something, and I just put my hand down, like, come on. And then like that's when he kicks me in the face. So kicks me in the face, knocks my glasses off my head. I come up, and I pop him right in the mouth, man.
Yep.
And I pop him several times in and around the mouth. We end up locking up, and I've got him pinned up against the table, and I'm doing my best to get position on him so I can punch him some more, because I've been waiting for this. I wasn't going to go looking for it, but if he wanted to do it, we were going to do it.
And Sean's a big dude, man. I've seen him in person, man.
Like,
he ain't small. I mean, I'm short, Brent, man. I'm only 5'8", 5'9".
Right.
And I'm not, you know, no disrespect to you, I'm not your size. I mean, I'm 215 pounds. Like, Sean towers over
Sean,
me.
They do. Sean's like 6'1", 6'2". He's probably about 240, 250 now.
But like, yeah, he's a big dude.
At his biggest, he was about 300 pounds. He was close to it. But, like, he's just a big dude. He's a solid guy.
Yeah.
But, like, I was trying my best positioning where I could, you know, start hitting him some more. And that's when I guess the entire locker room saw what was going on.
Yeah, you can see it on the video. Everybody breaks. I see Byron running over there. He's the only one I know, personally that I could tell, okay, that's Byron running over there, freaking up.
But when I hit Sean, man, I hit him really hard that first time because he kind of doubles back about 3 feet after I hit him, and you look like his knees had bubbled. But had that guy not been behind him, this kid named Smoke, had not been behind him, I believe Sean might have gone to the ground. Because he kind of stumbled over this guy and it kind of kept him up. And but you know, I was on him, like I was like, don't. That's just, it's just something you don't do. It's just the blatant disrespect of walking up and kicking somebody in the face. Like, how do you think that you're going to get away with that? And the person you've done it to is not going to retaliate. Like, it's such a bitch move.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of person he is. He is a bitch.
Well, and the thing, too, to me was, man, look, I didn't see dudes getting fights in the locker room. It's but as much as the business is a work, it fucking happens.
Yeah,
and two guys get in each other's face, and they're standing there, and then it just come to blows.
But a lot of people, they're just bumping gums, and then they
right.
But like, I didn't say a word to him, dude. I didn't say a single word to him when I was there. I knew going in like there might be an issue, so I'm going to do my best to just remain professional and not initiate it. But obviously, like I've said, he felt froggy and he felt the need to jump.
Yeah. I mean, what you going to do? I mean, you know, it's you got to defend yourself at that point too.
Absolutely. But he's the only guy I've ever seen take a legitimate ass whipping and just continue to talk shit. Like he didn't take an ass whipping. Like, he was in that much denial.
Well, I noticed on Twitter, you know, last Sunday when all this came out, you know, I'm seeing the tweets and stuff. And so tell me, because my memory, you know, I'm getting older, man. A week ago now seems like forever. So, all right. He was saying something about you didn't bust his eye open, because then it got into – I think he was even tweeting pictures of his head.
Yeah, okay. So here's the deal.
So go ahead and tell that part of it.
I busted his mouth open. He was bleeding from the mouth.
Right.
And he was bleeding from the left side of his head.
That's – okay. Yeah.
So – and Byron will tell you this. Anybody else who was in the locker room and broke up the fight will tell you that this dude was bleeding. He only caught me with one punch, and that was when I was backing off of him after Byron said, get off of him, Brent, get off of him. No more hitting him. Don't hit him no more. So I go to let him go, and I'm coming up. Well, he comes up from underneath and catches me in the cheek. And it wasn't even really that stout of a shot. But he's claiming that I scratched him, saying that I need to trim my nails.
Yeah. Oh. That's what it – now I remember. It said something about it looked like a cat scratch or something.
I don't have any fingernails. I buy my nails because I'm just naturally nervous.
I remember you tweeting that. Didn't you tweet a picture of your hand?
But Byron says, Byron's maintained it. Byron's told everybody that would listen too. He was bleeding from the side. It was a gash on the side of his head. And he was bleeding from the mouth. I don't know what that scratch was from by his nose. I have no idea. But if you look at the pictures, he's intentionally not showing the side of his head. You cannot see the upper left side of his head in both of the pictures where he posted. But that one picture looks like he's got a fat lip, and I'm sure he does. But he was bleeding from the inside of the mouth and the left side of his head, which you can't see in any of his pictures. But, he was steadily talking shit, and after I made my peace with it, I didn't have anything else to say to him. I let my hands do the talking. So they backed me up, and a couple of the boys went and grabbed my gear and moved me to the other side of the locker room. And Byron was trying to calm Sean down, and Sean's just steadily just bumping those gums, man.
And finally, Sean goes to the bathroom, goes and gets cleaned up. He comes back in. He's sitting down next to the promoter, Bob. And Byron sits down with him, and Byron's just trying to let cooler heads prevail. You know, be good. You know, calm down. You're the vet.
Right.
Like you should know what you should know how to act. And I guess that just set Sean off, right? Like he said something to Byron, and Byron gets up, says, "You're not going to talk to me like that." Like kicks these chairs out of the way, and they were ready to go. Everybody jumps back in front of Sean. But the funny thing was, man, Sean is a big dude.
Right.
And the guys that were holding back weren't that big. So if he really wanted to tangle, he could have got by all of those guys. He didn't want a fight. He did not want a fight. But he found one. All right, at least he didn't expect to find one. Like, he maybe wanted to start one, but he damn sure wasn't going to finish it.
Yeah.
But then, they're getting him towards the door, and, like, he's going, let's go outside and talk. What are we going to talk about outside, Sean? How I'm going to punch you in the face again?
He was telling you that, or like, someone else that?
Telling me and Byron, let's go outside, let's handle this. It just got handled. Like, I'm thinking, like, just how ridiculous this guy sounds right now. Like, I don't know what goes through this dude's head, but something, those synapses aren't firing in his brain, man. Like, something's wrong with him.
How well did Byron know? I've never asked Byron how well he knew Sean. How well did Byron know him prior to this?
Byron's been on a few shows with him, maybe two or three, but, like, but he knows how Sean is. Like,
okay.
Me and Byron are pretty tight.
I've known Byron for a long time too, and Byron is not one to bite his tongue for people.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I'm not, and I don't mean in a messy way. No. I'm just talking just from Byron, you know, if he don't like something, he gonna tell you that he don't like it. He's not. I don't mean he's disrespectful. It's like this.
He's not gonna put up with anybody's bullshit either. Like that's
right.
That's as simple as that. So, like when whatever Sean said to Byron and got in Byron's face, Byron was ready to go too.
Yeah.
And Sean would have got his ass handed to him again. And it was just like, I don't know if this guy was just, I don't know, man. I don't know if he was coked out of his mind or what. But like, something wasn't right about it. So he's just steady jawjacking, telling us to go outside. Byron's telling him, yeah, you need to go outside. That's where trash belongs. Like, said several times. He was like, I'll be outside waiting, motherfuckers, you know, blah, blah, blah. And like, we're like, cool, bro, go. We're going to go wrestle now because that's what we came here to do. And, I guess he hung out outside, you know, another 5-10 minutes, and then they gathered up his family and then they left. Like, and that's what Byron was kind of emphasizing. Like, your family came to watch you wrestle, and they don't get to watch you wrestle a whole lot of places because nobody books you because of your attitude, and you do this, and now they can't get to watch you wrestle. Like, he really only works for one show, and that's the RCW show in San Antonio, and then like a handful of Comic-Cons. Like, that's it. So just because his reputation precedes him. And the whole reason I really wanted to get a hold of the video, like once they told me that there was security cameras, and I go, oh man, I got to see it. You know, the whole reason I got it was just to protect myself, I guess, because I don't know. He's that kind of guy. He would say, oh, he hit me first, blah, blah, blah. You know, well, the evidence, the video is evidence, and that's gold.
Well, yeah, because you know how these things usually go in wrestling locker rooms. Is what he said. He said this is how it went down. This one said this is how it went down. And then before you know it, you got you know, one dude's story, another dude's story, and then you got the truth that's somewhere in between.
Exactly.
But the thing is, from the video, you can clearly see you sitting down.
I'm sitting down, and he kicks me in the face, and it was
right.
Like, and here's the deal: it was probably the weakest, most bullshit kick I've ever seen anyone throw. But the fact that you did it, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like spitting on somebody.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely. That's exactly what it was. Cause dude,
the physicality of you spitting on someone is not what's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to be like, you motherfucker.
Yeah,
you just.
I would have reacted the same way. You know.
Right.
So, but it was just a bitch move. And he paid for it. Like, it's just, I made him pay for his poor decision-making skills.
I haven't paid attention, but has the Twitter beef died down? Because I see.
Once the video, I think once he realized that there was video, because that's the last thing I tweeted to him. I go, the video speaks for itself. I didn't hear a word from him after that.
And I always get people on my podcast that go, well, we want to hear the other side. Look, man, I don't turn down nobody on my show. So I don't know, Sean. If he wants to come on and talk about it, he can always do so. I say that respectfully because, you know, I just say that. There have been people on my show who have kind of mouthed off about certain things. Yeah. And, you know, I'm like, well, hell, you know, I'm always. And because what will happen, Brent, is I'll get somebody on Twitter who fire off something. Well, motherfucker, you need to get such and such side. Okay, well, if that motherfucker wants to come say his side,
I would love to hear what happened, because it's going to be utterly fucking ridiculous.
Well, the thing is, the video says a lot. That's the tough part.
That's my next.
I don't know how you can get around saying what happened in the video.
How are you going to debate that?
Right.
So that's the whole reason I wanted the video out there.
Yeah.
To be able to say, you can't get around this motherfucker. This is what you did. This is what kind of person you are.
And see, I knew that I knew I had messaged you last week.
Right.
And we were gonna talk about it. And what I was going to say was, I saw it on Twitter. And, you know, I guess he's got a decent Twitter following. I don't know how many followers he's got. But, I mean, he's been on national TV. So
he's bear fried, bro.
Okay. So there you go. You know, he's verified. Yeah, nowadays, you're right, because it seems like they're verifying a lot of people. Yeah. I mean, I see people verified with, 2,000 followers. I'm like, how do you...
I want to be verified.
Yeah, how you got verified? But anyway, the thing is, you know, I lost my train of thought. I saw the video, and I'm like, well, you know, I figured you and I were going to talk about it on the show, and I thought maybe the beef would keep – not the beef would keep going, but it did die. Now that I look back, it died after, Monday. I don't remember seeing anything about it.
Yeah.
But that's what I was about to say. What shocked me was today when I saw that MLW tweet about that they talked about y'all on the show. That's what piqued my interest again. I was like, what? They talked about that on air? So that's one of the major podcasts and networks.
Yeah, exactly, man. So, that's cool. But I think you would kind of have to get Conan's perspective on it, because he spent so much time around him. He knows what kind of person he is, you know? So the fact that I mean, there's a little bit of validation there, you know, for me, or vindication rather, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
For someone who has been around him, they know how he is, you know?
Yeah.
Even Homicide had someone had tagged him in the video, the post, in the comments. And
oh, really?
Yeah. And he said, damn, he said, Sean's my boy, but big boy handle business. You know, that's what he said.
Did he really?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Oh, shit.
And, so that was, I was like, damn, the fact that nobody's, I haven't really seen anybody take his side, I guess, because the video is so damning.
Dude, Dusty Wolf was even commenting on it.
Oh, man. Well, Dusty and Sean's history is no secret either.
Okay.
Dusty does not like Sean. Dusty's even said that, the wrestling, but Texas, the wrestling business in Texas has done really well for the past 5 years. And that's because Sean wasn't around. Sean is that much of a cancer. He brings the entire scene down. So,
yeah.
You know, and whatever, I mean, I personally, I hope that this dude's stock plummets from this because of what kind of person he is. It's I've got nothing nice to say about this guy. Cool. He made it to where he made it. And I can respect that. But as an individual, as a human being, I think he's lower than the scum in the bottom of a pond.
Let me say this. That was one of the tweets that kind of it didn't set me off or anything, but it didn't sit well with me. Was I did disagree with him on this. And again, don't know the dude, you know, I'm taking your word.
Right.
And you spend a lot of time around, I don't know him, but one of the things he tweeted out, that when he said something He felt like he was alluding to like you and Byron and just the other indie guys who were tweeting it out. He was like, you know, enjoy your 5 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
Man, I don't. That does kind of get under my skin because
it's like
I know how hard a lot of indie guys work.
Yeah.
The legitimate indie guys who are out there, you know, working and driving these roads on the weekends, and they put a lot of time into it. And I'm like, come on, man! Like, don't try to make it seem like, you know, they wanted 5 minutes of fame, because, like, to me, I would disagree. If I ever talked to Sean, I would say, look, man, I hear you. I know you were pissed off, but you kicked the guy. He wasn't looking for 5 minutes of fame when you kicked him in the head. And I would say that. I mean, I would say that. He probably want to knock me out, but it, like, to me, that's how I took that.
Right.
Brent wasn't looking for 5 minutes of fame as a quote unquote, you know, indie guy. When you kicked him in the head.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, if you just want to say you kicked him in the head because you felt like he was running his mouth, well, you know, that's your prerogative. I mean, but I still don't like the move.
There's better ways to handle that, too.
Right, I agree. I totally agree. I'm just saying from him, if he were to say that, okay. But that was the part to me. Man, don't shit on the indie dude who is out there working hard, well, you know, trying to make some money.
Here's the thing, though. Like, you're indie now, too, bro.
Like, Dusty Wolf said that. Dusty said that shit.
And Lucha Underground because you're a dumb fuck.
Good point. Well, and like, I don't know if it was Conan or Court Bauer who said on MLW Radio something about
that MVP fire, bro.
Yeah, like he got MVP fired. Well, see, that was kind of news to me because I thought the story that came out was, you know, MVP parted ways from TNA, you know, through creative reasoning and, you know, he just management issues. So, like, when I heard that, I was like, that kind of made my ears go up. I was like, well, damn, what he did to get MVP fired?
So, well, but here's the deal. I think is what it was. They're boys, and MVP had vouched for him to come back.
Gotcha. Okay.
They filmed like 2 or 3 months of TV, you know, because TNA.
I knew that. I knew that point.
Film blocks of television and have it in the can and then they'll just roll and roll it.
Yeah.
So they filmed all this stuff with that Beatdown Club gimmick.
Yep.
But then they couldn't use it because Sean had signed a contract with Lucha Underground. He was on TV on that network.
Right. Well, no, what it was he had left Lucha.
Yeah, but he wasn't out of his contract yet.
Right. So then they couldn't air
somebody else's TV while you're on their TV too. Like, because the tapings were done, but they hadn't aired yet.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're in breach of contract and you lied to both companies. Like, how can you be that dumb?
What? TNA was kind of dumb too to not look into it. Well,
that's true, but I mean, I'm not.
But I agree. I agree with your point. No, I hear what you're saying.
Look at the money he cost TNA too, though, by doing that.
Well, yeah, because then they had the I mean, when they do those Orlando TV tapings over, I guess, 4 days now, they can, like, I know now they're doing like 6 weeks at a time. So those 4 days, they produce 6 weeks of TV.
Yeah. So that's just wasted. That's just wasted. Wasted tape. You know, really.
And for anyone who wants to, you know, bag on TNA, I mean, the bottom line is they're still on national TV. I mean, I know they're not drawing 3 million people a week like Raw is, but they're still on national TV.
Here's my deal. I hope TNA does well because, like everyone will say, that's just another spot for the boys to work.
Yep, I agree. I said it every week on my show.
I don't want to see them fail. I hate that it's in the position that it is now, but man, that hurt them because that was a big deal on their TV. Like, MVP was one of their main heels, and they had Joe in that little group, and they had Kenny King and Sean was in it. But like, Sean did all that stuff, and it, like Lucha Underground. I don't know. It was just crazy, dude. Like, I just you cost that company quite a bit of money and a lot of TV time that they had planned, and they had to scrap all that and go back and retape a bunch of stuff. And cost one of your friends a job.
That was the part that was the thing that I was like,
Yeah.
It just made my ears rise because I understood like I said, I mean, and I don't have an insider there or anything. I just understood that they parted ways, like mutually. I didn't know it was fired.
I just know what I see online, like most folks. But like that,
yeah.
I've heard that that's what happened. Like,
damn,
he got MVP fired. I don't know if it's true or not, but obviously that's the rumor. Because if Court Bauer had said it, then
I don't know.
They've heard.
That's true. That's fucking sick, man. That's crazy.
It's insane. Like, it's just
He's not your friend, right, Brent?
No, bro.
Oh, man.
Not at all. Like, I don't, like, this is, he's the one person that I've got, I can't say a good thing about, man. Like, I can't.
So, hey, check this out on a non-serious topic.
Yeah.
I see Randy, Lance Romance is eating at Tom's Mongolian Grill here in DFW, and he wants to know where you're at. Did you tell him you had to record Book of the Territory tonight?
I didn't tell him, but like that's his joke. Like if he's somewhere like he thinks that I would enjoy, or he's out smoking a cigar. Hey, Brent McKenzie, where are you at?
Yeah.
How you gonna tell me? You know.
I'm supposed to. I got a lot of stuff going on during the week right now, but I'm supposed to meet him at Oasis as soon as I'm done with my kids' baseball season.
We were just out there last Wednesday.
That's what he told me. He claims every Wednesday.
Just about.
Yeah, that's what he told me. Yeah, he and I texted about 2 weeks ago. I said, "Look, man, as soon as I wrap up, I'm gonna meet you out there." He's like, "Yeah, that's cool."
He and his son Brody. Good kid, man. They go out there nearly every Wednesday.
Oh yeah. Yeah, man. Dude, that's all I wanted to. I wanted to get down to the bottom of that. Let me ask this: have you had people want to do like interviews and shit about it?
Oh man, like me and Byron and I did a radio show out of Tampa last night.
Okay.
Talked about it a little bit, and then I did a little local podcast here. On the Offshoots Network, did one with him and Nigel Rabbit. We just talked. And the cool thing about Nigel is, like, he didn't really even want to talk about what happened with Sean. He just wanted to know about my career up to this point. We kind of alluded to what happened this weekend, and then that was about it. But, yeah, I mean, it's the internet traffic has been pretty steady since. So it's cool that, I get to kind of, I don't know, a little bit of notoriety from it, I guess.
Hey man, you got to make it work for you.
I'm trying. You know. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh no, big deal, man. I didn't intend on just talking about that. You know, I bring people on. I let them talk about their careers and stuff. I mean, hell, I had on Byron over a year ago, and Jesus, man, he talked for 2 hours to me.
He sure was.
He filled my ear up, man. He was going off on everything.
Oh man, but hey,
he was.
We had an opportunity to get on the show, and this was a good one. So
yeah, I actually, man, I think I'm gonna I already got my Tuesday show packaged and stuff and ready to put out, man. I might drop just a special episode on this one so it kind of hits this weekend. I actually think I'm leaning towards doing that, get it out there, you know. Let you, it'll be just you. It won't be because normally what we do is we have an interview, right? And then we do we'll cover some different things with Raw and news and all that. But yeah, man. So, dude, that was some crazy stuff, man. But I appreciate you coming on,
man,
dude.
Thank you, brother.
Anytime, man. And if you meeting Randy at Tons, man, just tell him I'll meet him in a week. Now,
forget
it. Hey, Brent. But hey, go ahead, plug your stuff, man. If you're like Twitter and everything, man. While you're on
Facebook, is Killer McKenzie. Twitter, Killer McKenzie. Instagram, Brent McKenzie. You can add me on Facebook. Just look up Brent McKenzie. I am available for bookings. Hit me up on Brent McKenzie or email me BrentMcKenzie1984@gmail.com. Let's talk business.
Well, look, Brent, I don't want to keep you, man. I'll let you get back to your Friday night wrapped up, and hey, I'll tag you and everything once it's all up, if I can get it out there in the next day or two.
That'll work, man. I'll be sure to spread the word.
I appreciate it, man. Well, look, man, you take care.
You too, buddy.
All right, bro. Later. Thanks for tuning in to the special edition of Booking the Territories Pro Wrestling Podcast with Killer McKenzie, discussing the Sean Hernandez incident in Houston about a week ago today as we recorded this on July the 1st, 2016. Coming up on this week's Tuesday, normal Tuesday episode, we've got a discussion with Matt Topolsky And Doc Turner and I and Hardbody Harper from Wildcat Sports and Entertainment are discussing the top five talkers slash promo guys of all time in the history of professional wrestling. It was a very interesting discussion. Very, very, very hard to narrow it down to just five. I mean, there's so many out there. But you'll get to hear all about that coming up on the Tuesday edition on July 5th, 2016 that drops. If it's your first time listening to us, check us out. Subscribe to the show however you get your podcast, whether that's iTunes, whether that's Stitcher. You can get us on Podbean. You can get us on Podcast Addict. You can get us on TuneIn Radio. Just about any way that there are podcasts, you can download our show. So appreciate you if you're going to tune into us weekly. Man, we really appreciate it. Thanks again to Killer McKenzie for coming on the show and discussing the incident that occurred, man. I enjoyed having you on. Welcome back anytime, man. I look forward to having you. And that's about it, man. We'll catch you next week on Tuesday, July 5th. Book it. Acres home, Howard Clark, Fifth Ward, Southpaw, Northside, where you at? Southside, where you at? Eastside, where you at? Westside, where you at? We taking over, 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 where you at? Now that we taking over, gotta wonder what's next. Probably stack a couple of billion at baguettes on the wrist. Pick out a couple of cars, a motorcycle, and jet. And if you try to oppose the crew, we breaking your neck. We just now getting it started, but you breaking the sweat. Achieving every accomplishment you aching to get. Like candy up on the whip, you know we making it wet. The kind of money you dream of, but ain't making it yet. Okay, no way, you niggas are gon' stay. Now that I got the juice and they calling me OJ. OJ. We don't play, better get hip or you gon' lay down. Cause I get crunked like Lil Jon screaming out. Better get the big picture or I'ma get richer. But I'm really trying to focus on my cheese and trying to get richer. So getting with a nigga like me gon' take more than running with a posse like Ice T. Northside, where you at? Southside, where you at? Eastside, where you at? Westside, where you at? D-Town, where you at? Agtown, where you at? GP, where you at? Funky Town, where you at? Northside, where you at? Southside, where you at? Eastside, where you at? Westside, where you at? Taking over, where you at? We taking over, where you at? We taking over, where you at? We taking over, where you at? It's J Clay taking over one verse at a time. Put you down to the grass, I own a turf at the line. I make my own crunk beat and throw Little John on it. Trick the whole industry and knock this door wide open. I'm in the game now, niggas ain't no stopping me. We three to throw this cold as niggas. We young punk MCs, DVDs on the screen. So these can watch me take a line from Missy. And you couldn't see me with Little Daryl thick glasses. Spit at girls and Sam Tubbs. Look at my pot of matches. It's drastic, we fantastic. These fans are fanatics. We won't stop, we just ecstatic. Like Reebok, it's a classic. It don't matter, cause it's a matter of fact. We better than that. Many producers that you used to can go hard on the track. I'm spitting these facts. We crack back like Bobby Boucher. It's a shame to get in the game. We had to say, okay. Northside, where you at? Southside, where you at? Eastside, where you at? Westside, where you at? Oak Cliff, where you at? Eastwood, where you at? Stop Six, where you at? Southside, where you at? Northside, where you at? Southside, where you at? Eastside, where you at? Westside, where you at? We taking over, 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 where you at? Rilo from Fort Worth with the dub in his face. Caprice with D's on it as I slide through the state. Hollywood, Eastwood, Southside, and Como. Get your hands up in the air in case a nigga kick dope. Fresh off the Southside, skating down Rosedale. Iceman 22 sitting in the wheel well. She call me Silly Rabbit, see the carrots in my grill. I'm making hot stutter, can we chill? Lil Rusty, Herman Lee, Old Grill, Tim Gray. What's up to Tyler, Texas, Emo, and Super Dave? You can buy it at the trap, or you can sell it at the house. But if you poke your chest out, then we're pulling your bra strap. Spectators ask questions, what Rilo guns at? Put it on your T-Jones, my little cousin bust back. If you see me at the show, you can meet me in the stands. Like Ronald Artest, I put my hands on the fan. Northside, where you at? Southside, where you at? Eastside, where you at? Westside, where you at? D-Town, where you at? Agtown, where you at? GP, where you at? Funky Town, where you at? Northside, where you at? Southside, where you at? Eastside, where you at? Westside, where you at? We taking over, 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 where you at? Big Slip Records in the house, Supreme Records in the house. I'm sideways on this pimping, huh? Pink Slip, Supreme Records.
Pink slip. Okay.